This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Happy holidays, Merry Christmas. It's our Boxing Day Premier League preview with James Bench and Jimmy Conrad. We talk Leicester City against Manchester United, Arsenal against Chelsea, Man City against Newcastle, Liverpool against West Brom, and of course, Wolves against Tottenham, and all the matches as the Premier League continues in this weekend and Boxing Day. Stay right here. Que Golazo begins right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Que Golazo Boxing Day Premier League preview. James Bench, how are you, my friend?
I'm so good. It's so good to be back. It's great that we've got a Brexit deal in the UK, literally, as I come on here now, which I'm not excited at all about. But everything's great because it's Christmas in 8 hours. Sorry, Jimmy, out on the Pacific. 8 hours until Christmas.
I am so excited. Christmas time. And obviously, Jimmy has been waiting to show up that beautiful Christmas sweater. Merry Christmas to all of you. Jimmy, Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas to you and to James and to your loved ones, of course. It's nice to see, James, that everybody got something done before the transfer window for Brexit. That's really smart to get it done early in the window as opposed to waiting for it to go late. You know, just a little stressful at that point.
It's a beautiful thing to see. We have so much to talk about, of course, Boxing Day action, the day after Christmas Day, for all of you that don't know. Premier League just keeps going and going, some really key matches. Before we begin, though, tis the season. And if you're watching this on YouTube, we all look to the nines right now, celebrating the holiday extravaganza. But I wanted to ask you, the listeners, but first, obviously, my beautiful colleagues, James Bench and Jimmy Conrad, your favorite Christmas movie. So let's begin with James Bench. What's your favorite Christmas movie, James Bench?
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Christmas. There's no Christmas. I know there's no Christmas. Maybe there's a similar equivalent in, I'm sure there is, in the States, just movies that are always on every Christmas. And every year, the BBC does, at some stage it does, Indiana Jones 1, 2, 3, the only Indiana Jones films. I've never heard of another one. It shows them all like day by day, and it is my favorite Christmas tradition to watch them all, especially the last one with Sean Connery. I don't care.
Listen, there are no rules here, friend. Yeah, absolutely.
No rules.
Rule is, it's not so much, a very good point, it's not so much a movie that's about Christmas, but a movie that you love to watch during the holidays. And I remember as well, growing up in England, right before the Queen's speech, you would get all those Indiana Jones, and Mary Poppins would also have to be there at some point as well. Yeah. All right, Jimmy, Indiana Jones for James Bench, what do you have?
I have two comments based on what you guys said. One, Indiana Jones, the fourth one, is absolute trash. So I'm glad you didn't bring it up, Bench. Second, I have a crush on Mary Poppins still. I had it when I was a kid. The OG Mary Poppins, not the new one.
No, and, Julie Andrews Mary Poppins.
Oh my God, still have a big crush on her. Just what a doll, what a babe. So smart and like had it all figured out. I can go on and on. Anyway, I'll say Die Hard. Die Hard has that little bit of a Christmas theme going through it. You know, yippee-ki-yay. MF'er and like so many clutch lines. And so it had, you know, it was happening during Christmas, even though it wasn't technically a Christmas movie. But to Benja's point, I think the movie we see a lot over here during the holidays is The Fugitive. And it's another Harrison Ford movie.
Yeah.
They just show The Fugitive over and over and over. I'm like, I think he's going to figure it out. No way he's going to jump off the dam. Why would he do that? The guy's insane. He's not going to survive, you know? But so I have a couple movies I'm throwing in there for you guys. But Die Hard stands out for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Die Hard is an absolute Christmas movie. Good choices. I have two. One is Gremlins. I think Gremlins is the ultimate Christmas movie. Yeah, I love it so much. But my wife, not so much. So sometimes I have to just like wait till she falls asleep of the eggnog and then just me get to watch it. But the other one, it's A Wonderful Life. To me, it's just a beautiful movie.
Classic.
Jimmy Stewart, one of the greatest actors in the history of movie making. And that's it. So what are your favorite Christmas movies? Make sure that you tweet us, Gego Lasso Pod, James Bench, Jimmy Conrad on Twitter as well. All right, let's get going. Premier League, Boxing Day action. And let's begin with the big one. And the reason why I say the big one is really because it's the one that starts off the day. Second against third, Leicester City against Manchester United. Both sides doing pretty well as of late. Man United in third, just 1 point behind Leicester City. It's a big one in terms of obviously climbing up that table and catching up to Liverpool. Let's begin with Jimmy Conrad. Some betting information on this one.
Okay, I'm going to give everybody some context, more so than what Luis just provided, because I think it's important for the bets I'm going to make. Now, four of Leicester's five league defeats this season have come at home. They're hosting this one. While United, as everybody continues to talk about, have won 10 straight away from home in the league. And they're coming off a tough win. I say tough, but against playing Stoke away, you know, in the middle of the week, which is like the phrase, you know, but can you do it in Stoke on a rainy night? And they did it. They beat them 3-1. And Stoke had six clean sheets out of the last seven heading into that one. And United looked great. Cavani should have scored about 17 goals in that one. And so I want everybody to keep that in mind, that there's a team that's not so hot at home. There's another team in Manchester United that's good away from home. Also, fun fact, Leicester have lost more games at home than they've won this season, and they have zero draws. And I think that's important. Now, nine of United's last 13 matches have seen both teams score. And even though Leicester are coming off an impressive 2-0 win over Spurs last weekend, I think both teams are going to find the back of the net. So I'm looking at Man United to win and both teams to score plus 320. But if you don't want to get into that, if you think a clean sheet could be on the cards for the Red Devils, United to win straight up is plus 135. I think that's pretty good value. Also, I want to give a shout out to Anthony Martial, okay? Because he has two goals and four assists in his last three games in all competitions. And for me, he's always been a confidence guy. And when his confidence is up, his stats are up. So I would look at taking him to score anytime at plus 175, or because he's got four assists in his last three games, getting an assist at plus 450. I think that is next level. However, you can't sleep on Jamie Vardy though, right? You can't sleep on that guy. Him scoring anytime is minus 105. So you got to bet 105 to get 100. And for him to get over one shot on target, I like that one a lot, plus 100. However, this is my favorite one. You guys are going to love this. If there's a penalty called and taken in this game, it's plus 155. I think you got to get in on that because Vardy had a penalty against Spurs. You know, they're getting in and around the box. They got some Madison's back in the team on a more regular basis. He's being confident. They're going to have guys trying to dribble and do their thing, along with Vardy, of course. And then you have, you know, Bruno Fernandes and Manchester United. They're associated with getting penalties all the time. So there you go. Thank you for having me.
Very good, Jimmy Conrad. James Bench, Leicester City have lost more Premier League matches and conceded more Premier League goals against Man United than they have versus any other side. What will be the narrative in this one on Boxing Day?
I feel really bad for raising this, but I think Jimmy, in his brilliant rant, might have got confused on the old EFL Cup opponents. But we will not edit that, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's right. Tottenham played against Stoke, not Manchester United.
Who did United play?
Everton.
Ah, that's right. Sorry about that, everybody.
No, but you're good.
But continue. They still kick their ass. Let's keep
going. Exactly.
They kick their ass really well.
Away from home. Keep it going.
It's just a name. It's just a place. It's all in the north. One of the things I wanted to highlight was from the Everton game. And the one thing I'd be worried about if I was Man United, Bruno Fernandes looks dead on his feet, because why wouldn't he? I did some of the maths on this for the report. Of the last 17 matches Man United have played, he's played 45 minutes or more in 16 of them. Over the last 32 days since the last international break, he's played 795 minutes plus added time and has sat for about 105. This guy is constantly the one that United players defer to, that they look to. Before Martial and Rashford came on, the game plan was pretty much, let's give it to Fernandes and hope he can bail us out. And quite often Fernandes can, because he's one of the best players in the league already. He's probably the most talismanic, transformative player of anyone in this division. But you can't rely on him. You're Man United. You can't rely on one player to carry you as good as Fernandes is. And I think Leicester have got the perfect guy to close him down, to shut him down in Wilfred Ndidi. It was really noticeable when Leicester won at Spurs that Ndidi was just killing everything in front of the defence. Harry Kane tried to drop deep for a while and just ran into this brilliant defensive midfielder who just wins back every tackle and is the best fouler in the Premier League. He fouls you in such a way that he'll never get, it'll take him five fouls to get a yellow card. And he'll do that to United. I'm sure he'll love hacking down Fernandes and Rashford and whoever else comes his way.
Yeah, absolutely. Just some injury points. Jamie Vardy should be available after being subbed in the previous game. But Aaron Wan-Bissaka is a question mark for Manchester United. And so is Scott, Zinedine Zidane, McTominay, as well as possibly Luke Shaw. But to Jimmy, to you know, James's point, Fernandes has been directly involved in like half of Manchester United's Premier League goals since his debut in February. He's just so ridiculously important. So that midfield battle will be very important.
Yeah, 100%. And these are really spot on. And I don't want to take anything away from Leicester because their performance against Spurs last weekend was very impressive. Spurs obviously were coming in on the back end of, you know, getting slapped a little bit by Liverpool, but at least coming off of a loss. And they needed something. They needed to rebound. They needed to kind of put their flag back on the ground and say, hey, we're going to really challenge for the league. And Leicester was like, absolutely not, and outplayed them in so many different ways. And I think what I really like about Leicester, and this is a sign of a good team, is that if you make a half mistake, they're going to punish you for it. And I think that Leicester's doing a very good job of doing that. And the times that they struggle, it's not because they're not getting those opportunities. It's just that they're not finishing those half chances like they were maybe earlier in the season. And I think that's where they hit that block where they weren't doing as well. But now they're starting to round into form. They're taking their chances again. This should be a cracking game. And I could see a draw here as well, but there's just something about Man United on the road. Those dudes do not like playing at Old Trafford. You put them anywhere else, they're world beaters. You put them at home and they're like, meh. So I'm just kind of going to go with the trends here. And also, historically speaking, Leicester's only beaten United once in their last 21 tries. That dates back to 2000. So if you got history, you got current form, especially on the road and given Leicester's form at home, yeah, I kind of like United based on these trends. But you never know. When you got Jamie Vardy, you always got a chance.
All right. So you have Manchester United for the win. Do you have a score there, Jimmy?
I got 2-1. I think it's going to be United to win, both teams to score. I got plus 320 on that. But there is something about Martial getting an assist just because he's got four in his last three games at 450 that I really like as well.
All right, the 2-1, James Bench, Manchester United for the win for Jimmy. What do you have as your prediction, buddy?
I'm pretty confident Leicester are going to win. I'm going to say this right now. Luis, you and I spoke about last month about who might like squeeze in if Liverpool slip up, which we don't think they will. It's Leicester. Second or third best team in the country, depending on where you put City. That starting 11 is exceptional. And they have players like Ricardo Pereira to come back. This Leicester team's for real, man. It's really good. They've got depth. I think they're going to win this. I think this is going to be a statement win for Leicester. And I look forward to seeing them.
Well, we have a James Bench victory for Leicester, a win for Manchester United from Jimmy's side. I'm going to be boring and go with a draw. I'm going to say it's going to be 2-2 with a late goal from Manchester United. I think Leicester City, I agree, is very good, but I think United will do enough to get a point. All right, let's move on because there's another very big game. It's a London derby here as Arsenal, facing Chelsea. I don't know what kind of narrative you want to have here, but I believe that this is the Arteta, if you can do something, it has to be here against Frank Lampard's Chelsea. Jimmy, let's begin with your betting tips on this one.
Again, I don't really know. You know, no Aubameyang, no Partey, no Bergkamp, no Henry, no identity, no chance these guys are going to win. I don't know who's even going to score the goals for these guys. Actually, defensively, I think Arsenal have been okay, but they're not very good going forward. They have the fifth worst home record in the Premier League this season. They've picked up just 7 points from their 7 matches, and they've only scored 6 times in their 7 home games, which is pretty embarrassing. And the last time they won was November 1st. Do you guys remember what you're doing November 1st? No, you absolutely do not. It was so long ago. Nobody knows what was going on November 1st. I'll catch you up, though. It was World Vegan Day. and Arsenal beat Manchester United at Old Trafford 1-0, and there was a lot of hope, right? Oh, man, they're going to kick on. They did it. They beat a good opponent away from home. And they only have 2 draws since then out of 7 matches in the league. It's looking tough. And then you have them, they had played midweek and got slapped by Manchester City. Didn't have a lot of answers for a lot of stuff going on. Sure, they could, you know, raise their hand and say Phil Foden was off for that deciding goal and all that, but there was really only one team that was going to win that, especially as the game wore on. And then Chelsea got to chill midweek, probably the first time they've got to chill midweek all season. So they get to kind of walk into this with a little bit more energy. I know that there's a couple players on their team, like Tammy Abraham. I would love to see Olivier Giroud start against his former club in this one. His form has dipped a bit. Tammy Abraham's coming off two goals against West Ham. I think you're going to go with the hot hand there. Who isn't hot, though? Timo Werner has not scored in his last six matches. I don't know what's going on with that guy. Kai Havertz probably won't even start. So they're big two money guys. They're two of their bigger names that they signed aren't really firing on all cylinders. But I will say two of Arsenal's four Premier League wins this season have been in London derbies. They beat Fulham, which I don't know if that counts, and then West Ham. So, you know, that's what I see. I'm going to do something similar with Manchester United. I'm going to take the team away from home to win. That's Chelsea and both teams to score. I do think Arsenal are going to score potentially. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt here. I feel like somebody's going to get one in there. Lacazette looks like he's at okay form at the moment. A little bit of confidence plus 260. But if you're thinking there's no way Arsenal's going to score, no Aubameyang, not going to happen. Chelsea to keep a clean sheet is plus 175. I like that one a lot. And if you need an American slant, and some of you guys do, you got a little extra cheddar from the holidays. Pulisic to score, both teams to score. Chelsea to win is plus 600. So I like that one a little bit too.
A lot of great info there. You mentioned Timo Werner. If you head over to CBS Sports, James Bench has a great article on some of the narratives, some of the reasons about why Werner's situation and his lack of goals right now and the meaning for everything. James Bench also has some great inside information. James Bench, Arsenal against Chelsea. How do you see this one? Give us all the details, all the info, and of course your analysis.
I mean, we could start with Arsenal, obviously. There's so much to talk about there, particularly about manager. What's remarkable is this is the worst run of form in living memory at Arsenal. They just about scraped away from the worst home form and five straight league defeats at their home ground, which had never happened before, but they look diabolical. And they still are sticking with Arteta. And everything I'm hearing from the club is that they want to stand by him. They're 100% behind him. And that's in a really different way to how they were with Unai Emery. They want this to work out. They would rather back Arteta than the players. Of course, look, there's a point where it becomes impossible to keep him because you run the risk of getting relegated. And I think if they lose two or three of the festive games, it's really hard to see him holding on. But right now, everything out of Arsenal is we're standing by Arteta. We want to give him money in the transfer window. We want to invest in this squad, but they need to sell players. They don't actually, something I can report, they won't have a replacement for their lead negotiator, Hosfami. They're not expecting that. Maybe it will happen late in January, but they're not expecting to have a new lead negotiator in place for the January transfer window, and that will all fall on Edu. They've got to move three players out of the off their books before they can add one in, or they've, you know, the squad is oversized. And as Jimmy says, no Partey, Aubameyang probably not going to be fit, a race against time on that one. Martinelli a doubt as well. He was great when he came back. This is a club in crisis. It's the ideal club to face if you're Timo Werner and haven't scored in nine games. Just on that piece, a lot of it is just, you know, a bit of bad luck. He's a great striker. He's consistently outperformed his XG. He isn't this season. And a lot of that is because he's kind of missing the low pressure chances, if you know what I mean, when there's not defenders around him. It's nerves. That's really what it comes down to. He's missed a few. Once they start going in, and they could against this Arsenal defence, which has gone back a bit, deviated a bit towards the norm, he'll be flying. This Chelsea team's good, even if they miss Ziyech. This is going to be another hard day for Arsenal. The best case scenario is they grind something out, but they're so far from where they want to be, and there's so much pressure around that club right now and so much tension. This is the worst time to be playing Chelsea.
If I can just offer an inch of hope for Arsenal fans, just a tiny snowflake, just a little bit of an inch, that is that Arsenal have won six of their last 10 games in all competitions against the big six since July 15, including, you know, the one that Jimmy mentioned against Manchester United. Of course, this is a difficult game. And the only thing that I will say, I think, is that I feel that Mikel Arteta is going to probably park two buses, a cab in front of him and a train just to hope on the counter. I think it's going to be a very frustrating fixture where Chelsea's going to try to unlock them and Arsenal will hold on. But I'm going to say something here. I'll give my first prediction, then I'll go to Jimmy and then James. I think Arsenal can do this. I think they're going to sneak by and get that 1-0 draw. If there is nothing in this Christmas season, is to not believe, and I believe, let's just give them. They're 4 points above the relegation zone. Arteta will get his glimmer of hope and they'll win 1-0. Jimmy Conrad, what say you?
Okay, so let's get on the bus a little bit, not using your same metaphorical bus, but let's get on the Arsenal train. Let's change the mode of transportation here. Let's get on the Arsenal carriage here and say, okay, let's say they have a glimmer of hope, which I don't think they do, but because Reece James is out, even though I like Azpilicueta, he's getting a little long in the tooth. And then because Chilwell's going to be out as well and Emerson comes in, I think there is an opportunity for them, Saka in particular, to maybe get after it a little bit. I think Arteta really does have to release his wingers to really go with some purpose and to challenge those guys. And don't let the double team, don't let Thiago Silva slide over, don't let Kurt Zuma slide over. Try to really take advantage of these 1v1 opportunities. And that could lead, if they're bombing guys in the box, that could lead to some opportunities. Not necessarily crosses, but like just getting to the end line and playing it back, right? So I think Arsenal could find those advantages, assuming they can get the ball in those spots, which isn't always easy against a Chelsea team that's gotten a lot better defensively since they've made some of these signings. That said, I don't think they're going to win this game. I could see a draw. I could see both teams scoring. That's plus 340. I could see some value there, Luis. So if I want to go over there and give them some hope, a glimmer of hope, this Arsenal team isn't like Manchester United. For us with Manchester United, we always like 1 week we complain about Ole Gunnar. And then the next week we're praising the guy. Like, how did he do that? It's amazing. They should sign him to a long-term deal. And then the next week it's like, oh, we should fire that guy. With this one, it's just like, it's not getting better. They're not.
This is who they are.
This is who they are. Exactly. And that's a problem. And I mean, Arteta's out there doing quotes with statistics and all this stuff. I'm like, the guy's lost the plot. You know, I don't know. He's losing his mind. He doesn't know what to do and he hasn't solved the problems. They still don't have a real identity. They still don't know who their best 11 is. And obviously with some key injuries, that's not helping the cause. This is going to be a tough one. And yes, do they need to win this? They absolutely do. And I think that desperation might see them get enough to make it happen, but I don't see him winning. I could just see a draw. So, but I think that Chelsea's going to win both teams to score. I like that one.
What's the score for you?
2-1.
Okay. So 2-1 from Jimmy Conrad.
So safe. I know I'm playing it safe. Get off my back, everybody listening. Get off my back.
Sometimes safety is the best option. James Bench.
If Martinelli and Aubameyang are fit, and I see like a road to Arsenal winning. You go back to the 3-4-3. You have basically a left flank of Tierney as your left-sided centre-back, Saka further forward, Martinelli. That's great. That looks fun. You might be able to get a goal from there. Even then, I don't see Arsenal winning. I think this is going to be a really tough, disappointing day. I'm going to say 3-1 to Chelsea.
Wow.
Ooh, yeah. Wow. All righty.
3-1.
I respect it.
Well, there you have it. All right. When we come back, we will continue to preview the rest of the Boxing Day Premier League action, including Man City against Newcastle. We've got Wolves Tottenham, Liverpool against West Brom, of course, and much more. Stay right here because Que Golazo will return.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to Que Golazo, James Bench, Jimmy Conrad. And we're now moving on to Sunday's. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Sticking with Saturday, but Man City in the 3 p.m. Eastern time kickoff against Newcastle at home to Newcastle. Jimmy Conrad, Newcastle, your team. Give me some betting tips on this one. Man City continues to try and climb up that table.
Do I have to? Newcastle are absolutely terrible. They lost to Brentford. They didn't even look good against Brentford, who are in the championship. Now, fair enough. Brentford maybe should have done the business against Fulham last season in the playoffs, and we're unlucky not to get promoted to the Premier League. So they're pretty good, and they got some good players. But still, what? That was like a Brentford B team, too. I don't even want to get into it. Okay, so that game, I'm going to leave alone. In this one, they've got absolutely no chance. So when I looked at that, there's no value on William Hill. It's barely anything. But I did find this fun fact, and it blew my mind, and I couldn't stop laughing for about 5 minutes. Sergio Aguero, who just happens to be rounding into form before he plays against Newcastle, he scored 15 Premier League goals for Man City against Newcastle, which is the most a player has scored for a single team against a specific opponent in the competition's history. So I'm looking at all the bets of Sergio Aguero. I think he's going to start. He played 15 minutes against Arsenal at the very end in the Carabao Cup. Minus 175 to score anytime. He's going to score more than one, let's be honest. Plus 250 to score first, okay? Plus 260 to score two or more. Plus 100 to score with his right foot. I like that one probably the best. Plus 600 to score with his left foot. You never know. And plus 650 to score a header. And so I'm just looking at anything Sergio Aguero, because for whatever reason, when he wakes up and has breakfast, he includes Newcastle on his breakfast because he just eats those guys all day, every day. And I look forward to seeing Sergio Aguero score once again against my favorite club.
I don't know if Sergio Aguero will start in this one, but
it doesn't matter. He's going to come on and score three, Luis. Yeah. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, but all he needs is a few minutes. You're right. You're completely right. James Bench, Man City, Newcastle. What do you make of this one?
I was also looking at some of Sergio Aguero's stupid numbers against Newcastle, and I was on the website Transfermarkt. You might remember he scored 5 goals against them in one game.
I was trying not to remember that, but yeah, thanks, James.
Back in 2015. What I love most about it is he came off after 66 minutes, which is really like the footballing equivalent of that bit in The Simpsons where it's like, stop, he's already dead. and the Transfermarkt like substitution says Wilfred Bonny on, Sergio Aguero off, reason, special achievements. This guy is so good, we had to get him off the pitch. You've got to play him, haven't you? Surely you just respect the ability to just beat up on this poor opponent. And by the way, like, it doesn't get better for Newcastle after Aguero. It's their festive fixture list is the most difficult by so much. After that, they've got they're at home to Liverpool, and then on January the 3rd, they're away to Liverpool and then at home to Leicester. So they're going to get no points. If they get 1 point, that's parades through the city centre.
I agree.
Yeah. And listen, when you look at the table, you know, it's 8 points above the relegation zone. But to your point, James Bench, that could easily get closer, that margin for Newcastle. And as somebody who knows too well the managerial tactics of Steve Bruce, that can very, very well happen. And a few other pointers, by the way, Kevin De Bruyne was rested during the Carabao Cup. Mendy can come back. There is something to be said, though, about the fact that Newcastle has recently been ravaged with coronavirus, of course. And I feel that that's still lingering on with apparently a lot of the players are still feeling the effects of that. Trying to make any excuses. I'm just saying that it's not when it rains, it pours. That's the only thing that I'm saying.
I was one of those players that I would see the squad and who are we playing the next three games? Yeah, dude, I'm not feeling great. I think it's still a coronavirus. Yeah, I would be saying the same crap. Oh, I'm just gonna chill in the training room. I feel fine. I'm asymptomatic, but I still got it. Something's happening, you know? That's those guys are all just taking it easy until after the new year. Yeah, here's a funny scoreline though, because every time I go on William Hill, they give you odds on the exact scoreline. So I always go to see like what the bookies are saying are gonna be the favorite. And this one is 3-0. To Man City to win straight up plus 500. I don't know. It could be more than that to James's point, especially if Aguero starts, it could be 7-0. Newcastle, they'll put in a fight for a little while, but you know, they're going to have 15% possession like most teams do against City. And it's not going to be fun to watch. And it's just, I feel like I am a masochist at this point supporting Newcastle.
Yeah, well, you might be so. All right, let's the remaining matches, by the way, the similar kind of narrative could happen as Liverpool face West Brom on Sunday, West Ham host Brighton, Leeds United against Burnley, Sheffield United host Everton, Aston Villa host Crystal Palace, who just got spanked by Liverpool. But a big one as well, to wrap everything up from Sunday as well, is Wolves. Wolverhampton Wanderers hosting Tottenham. I say big just because, I don't know, I guess it's the end of the weekend for that one. But also, it's two teams that are still looking to find some kind of rhythm. I know that Tottenham just won in the Carabao Cup, but Wolves are still struggling as well. Wolves hosting this one. Jimmy Conrad, what do you have from here?
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. You say not a big. I think it's big for both clubs. Wolves are obviously struggling a little bit. I've only won three, or excuse me, I've lost three out of four since Raul Jimenez unfortunately went out with that really serious head injury. They miss his presence in so many different ways. They probably actually regret selling Diego Jota to Liverpool because he could have helped out. However, Pedro Neto has really stepped up. He scored three goals in his last six.
Yeah, he's great.
Daniel Podence, who the Portuguese number 10, has been very good for them in the middle of midfield. They just need that presence up top. They're missing that big guy in Raul Jimenez, and I think that's going to be another big loss. Another fun fact from this one, the away team, when these two teams play against each other, have come out on top in five out of the last six games, and Spurs have won their last three away to Wolves. So there's a lot leaning towards Spurs in this one. I think they're coming off a lot of good confidence of beating Stoke. I think I got that one right this time, Bench. I appreciate you correcting me before. I was just so interested in the away from home. Heung-Min Son has scored three goals in his last six. Him to score any time is plus 150. I don't think that's pretty good value. Harry Kane leads the league in assists. He's plus 180 to get an assist in this one. I like that as well because he's doing really well, I think. He starts kind of high, somehow occupies the center backs, but then starts to drift. That's when he's had a lot of success. When he drifts out wide to pick up the ball, Heung-Min Son and others, but Heung-Min Son in particular, likes to run and break the lines and get in behind. And that's led to a lot of goals. Now, I think teams have figured that out a bit, but something to keep an eye on. I also like Heung-Min Son to get two shots or more on target. Every time I bet this with Robert Lewandowski, he never lets me down. And I think Heung-Min Son is still on that. So if he gets two shots or more on target, it's plus 200. I think it's a bit cheeky. And so it's just tough. It's a tough one to bet, but I'll just kind of give you these values right now. There has been under 2.5 goals in six out of the last seven games for Spurs in the Premier League, despite them coming off a 3-1 win. That was a Carabao Cup. And then I really like Højbjerg to get a yellow in this one. I think him chasing that number 10 around, Daniel Podence, could prove to be a bit of a challenge. Plus 320 for him to get a yellow. He's a bit aggressive. And so I don't know. It's interesting. The favorite score line is 1-1 on William Hill, plus 480. I don't know who's going to score for Wolves. And so I kind of see it similar to Arsenal. Who's going to do that? Spurs to keep a clean sheet is plus 150. Depends on what you guys want to, how much risk you want to take. But there's some good value in this game.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, there should be goals following their 3-2 win at Tottenham in the Premier League meeting last time. Wolves are looking to secure back-to-back victories against them since 2009, 2010. So you could see some goals. James Bench, Wolves-Tottenham, a Portuguese matchup. How do you see this one?
I find Wolves' form really odd because I've seen a few of those games they've lost, and they kind of play quite well. And I like the free, as much as they really do miss Jimenez, I love that sort of freewheeling stuff that Neto and Podence and Traore can do and sometimes do and did so well against Chelsea. But you look at this looks like the game that's actually a bit easier for Spurs than maybe the one on the 30th against Fulham, when they'll probably rotate and their depth has not looked as good as we thought it was. You know, Bale, Lucas, even Vinicius, they've not been great. I'm really interested to get Jimmy's take on how you deal with Harry Kane dropping deep when you know as well that Heung-Min Son is going in behind you. But you can't, surely, you know, as a centre-back, surely you can't just let Kane move into that space and have the ball, particularly when you know he's got, you know, if it's quite near goal, you know he's got a great shot on him from range. And I mean, obviously you've got your midfielders, but they may well be occupied as well. We see that with someone like Ndombele. So how do you, I don't know how someone deals with this. And I've never played football.
No, what I would say is that when that happened, when I played, you would release the striker into midfield, but you'd have to have really good communication with your CDM. When I look at Matinho, is he going to do that work for Wolves? You know, you got Vinagre as well. Is he going to be the guy that does that? I mean, that's a big question. I think you make a really good thing. And I think that Tottenham, a really good insight there where they're trying to create numerical advantages when he drops in, or if he tries to pull one of the center backs wide, because, you know, he's been drifting a lot this season. I feel like we're seeing Harry Kane pick up the ball on the sideline more than ever. But that's creating gaps because, to your point, the center backs aren't – I guess I should follow him. I think my manager would want me to follow him there, but then that creates big pockets of space for Heung-min Son in particular to run into. So there's a lot of discipline and communication there. And if you have a couple players that maybe aren't sharp or haven't played in a while, I know that Bowley's going to probably come back in for Wolves, but he hasn't played in a while. You know, that could be something that Harry Kane could take advantage of. So there's a lot of communication that has to happen. And there has to be a commitment. And the CDM, right, he's got to turn and look over his shoulder all the time to see where the passing lanes are so that Harry Kane can't pick up the ball and then turn and run at the back four, right? That's the one thing. If you don't go chase Harry Kane into those spaces, if he does pick up the ball, now he's running at you with full speed, and that's not a good thing for you either. So it's like trying to find that middle ground where you could get to him. You know, you're close enough to maybe make it difficult for him not to get it in turn, but you're also not so tight that it's creating these big pockets of space for people to run into. So you got to be very disciplined, and the communication has to be spot on.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see also the right wing side from Wolves, Adama Traore, against the left side of Tottenham, Sergio Reguilón, of course. And of course, you know, the possible appearance of Matt Doherty, you know, playing against his former club. An interesting matchup where both teams often rely on the counter, but something has to give. Give me your predictions on this one, Jimmy Conrad.
I see a 1-0 game here. I think Spurs are going to do just enough. They're going to grind it out. I don't think they're as aesthetically pleasing as they were maybe to start the season. I think people are starting to figure out this Heung-min Son, Harry Kane thing. Wolves are always very tough to break down. I think they'll get something. I think Tottenham, though, I think it'll be 1-0. Tottenham's the only team to score plus 225 on William Hill. I like that one a lot. I just don't know where Wolves are going to get the goal. To Benj's point, I do like that they're looking a little more fluid up top. But I do think that presence of Jimenez, not having somebody up there that can hold up the ball against big center backs, is really slowing them down. I don't think they're creating the same type of rhythm without them there. And I just don't see. Pedro Neto is good, and I think he could slice and dice and maybe draw a penalty or something, as he's done and shown, even though he is prone to diving, which is cool. I'm down with diving. It's part of the game. And yeah, just give him a yellow if he's faking or whatever. But I like Tottenham, the only team to score plus 225.
James Bench?
Yeah, definitely go with Spurs, the only team to score. Like, maybe in my head, I see this as one of those games where they're 1-0 up until like the 88th minute. Spurs commit a few too many forward, and then it's just bang, Son or Lucas or whoever just gets the second. Yeah, I think this will be, I think it'll be interesting, but I don't see anything other than a Spurs win.
Yep, I agree. I think it's a Tottenham win. I think Wolves will get a goal here, but it'll be 2-1 to Tottenham. Harry Kane will be up for this one as well. All right, before we finish off, as you noticed all those games, any final words from both of you? Jimmy Conrad, let's begin with you as we look ahead to Boxing Day weekend action.
Yeah, just enjoy it. Kick back, relax, enjoy your family. Hopefully you got a nice warm drink or a cold drink if that's your thing. If you're into, you know, spending a little of your extra cash on William Hill, I'm sure they would love it. But I'm hopefully giving you guys picks that you guys will win some money so you can really feel even better about the holiday experience. But yeah, enjoy your families, your loved ones. Be safe and smart out there. And we look forward to seeing you on the other side.
Beautiful, Jimmy. How about you, James Bench?
I wish I could echo. I mean, I will echo what Jimmy said. And then otherwise, just shout out for this is such a feast of football, and it is stupid. It asks way too much of footballers. You know, some of these teams have got like less than 48 hours between games, but also, like, you know, we've got, it's the perfect English football feast, and we've got Big Sam back. Everything that one could want from the Premier League. And I know that it's not right, but it's really fun. Yeah. That's what Christmas is about, doing things that aren't with you, but you really enjoy.
Absolutely. Just like watching Indiana Jones. It's really, really fun. James Bench, thank you so much, brother.
Thank you.
Jimmy Conrad, thank you.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and James Bench for joining me today. This is our last episode of the week. We will come back on Monday as we have a transfers to watch out for in 2021 special with Fabrizio Romano and so much more. Make sure that you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Follow us on KegoLassoPod on Twitter. If you leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, we would be forever grateful. Have a great holiday season and enjoy it with the rest of your family. We will see you very soon.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.